How you guys doing? Everybody feeling groovy? If you're not feeling groovy, you will be by the end of class. So you're feeling way groovy. That's what we strive for, grooviness. So I had the pleasure of being with one of my wisdom woman friends on Sunday for a writer's workshop, and we were talking about happiness. Actually, she brought it up. And, you know, she said happiness is really an emotional state. You know, when I'm happy, you know, it's like can run on the continuum of feeling fearful and feeling this and feeling that. But she said, you know, really what we should be striving for is contentment. Because you can always be content regardless of, you know, things are up, things are down, you know, family's great, family's not so great, but there's still this center of contentment. So, or grooviness, we can call it grooviness or contentment. So I thought that was a really interesting insight because we're going to be talking about happiness, not necessarily tonight, but in the latter classes, we'll be talking a little bit more about what does that really mean. So anyway, there it is, contentment, groovy, we're feeling good. But there isn't anything wrong with feeling laughter and joy and happiness and kind of putting ourselves in that state. And I really like this quote, today I choose life. Every morning when I wake up, I can choose joy, happiness, negativity, pain, to feel the freedom that comes from being able to continue to make mistakes and choices. Today, I choose to feel life, not to deny my humanity, but to embrace it. And it's not just in the morning that we can say this is something great, but it's throughout the day, you know, periodically throughout the day, when things aren't going well, you can stop and say, you know, I can choose to feel differently. You know, I can choose to have, and we'll talk about, you know, it takes a little while to move from rage, you know, to being, you know, if you did it like that, there'd be something maybe a little wrong. But it takes a little while. But you can choose when you notice that you're in a state that isn't, you know, that doesn't feel good, that isn't conducive to having a productive day or a productive moment, and then you can begin to make another choice. So we can do that throughout the day. And one of the ways in which we can start to make that shift on the inside is to visualize. So that's how we're going to start our meditation. So everybody, feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. And remember, it's just a slight tilt of your chin because what you're doing really is lengthening your spine. We don't want to slouch in our meditation and fall asleep. We still want to have a nice, subtle alertness. We want to open up the energy center in the spine by just tilting the chin slightly down and creating that feeling of length. Let's take three hot breaths together. Everybody inhale. Exhale. Let's do that two more times. Inhale. Then inhale. And in your mind's eye, I want you to recall someone that you really love being with. That when you think of this person, you cannot help but smile. And maybe it's a furry person, your cat or your dog, whatever. But the person, the energy, and in your mind's eye, when was the last time you connected with this person? See if you can call that up in your mind. Imagine you can feel what you feel. Feel what you felt and see what you saw, hear what you heard. Just put yourself in that space with that wonderful friend. And notice how that feels. In your mind's eye, connecting with that feeling, allow it to expand, first filling up the chest,
the upper back. Let that feeling expand to the tips of your toes and the tips of your fingers, the top of your head. And just be in that energy, just for another moment. Beautiful. And now moving your attention deeper into the body, down into the tailbone. And in your mind's eye, imagine a golden thread moving up the length of the spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, lengthening the spine, lengthening the body, opening up that energy channel in the spine. Good. And in your mind's eye, the golden thread moves up the cervical spine, lengthening the neck, and the shoulders move away from the bottoms of your ears. Good. And in your mind's eye, the golden thread moves up and out of the crown of your head. Floats all the way up towards the ceiling. Imagine you can feel it tugging at the crown of the head, or maybe you feel some tingling at the crown as that energy moves up. Beautiful. Let's take that golden thread all the way up into the night sky. Through the night sky, and imagine it stretching all the way up and connecting with the energy of the sun, that powerful energy. That light, that life force. Good. And in your mind's eye, imagine the energy from the sun, that light, that life force, that happiness coming all the way back down, down, down into the crown of your head, bringing that light energy back down the length of the spine. Healing and balancing. Bringing that energy all the way back down to the base of the spine. Good. Bringing your awareness now to your bottom. Notice if you're leaning to the left or to the right. Go ahead and move around in your seat a little bit so that you're comfortable. Unclench the body. And allow the chair to support your weight completely. Allow the chair to support the muscles of the body. Allow the chair to support you in your practice. Beautiful. And take your attention now down the backs of the legs, the hamstrings, the backs of the knees, the calves, the heels. Trace the bottoms of your feet with your awareness. Feel your connection to the ground beneath you. Take your awareness now even deeper down into the earth, all the way down deep into the earth, as far as you can imagine. Becoming nice and grounded and connected to the earth that supports and cares for you. And maybe you can let go a little bit more, knowing that the earth is your home. Knowing that the earth is supporting you in your practice. And maybe there's a thought, there's a situation, there's a relationship that's no longer serving you. Maybe you can let it go into the earth. Just imagine gravity pulling it away from the body-mind. And say to yourself silently, I let go of anything conscious or unconscious that is no longer serving me. Beautiful. Now bring your attention up to your face. Notice if you're frowning. Notice if there's any tension in the forehead. If you're clenching your eyes shut, or maybe you're clenching your teeth. And just notice the tension. Good. Go ahead and lift your eyebrows up. And then let them drop, smoothing the skin of the forehead. Good. Taking your awareness into the eyes. Let the eyes be soft, so that your upper and lower lids are barely touching. Imagine you can feel the eyes resting in the sockets. Imagine you can feel the optic nerves resting, the brain resting in the skull. Taking your awareness into the spine, imagine you can feel your nervous system releasing, resting, repairing. Taking your awareness now back to your eyes. Taking your awareness into the jaw. Notice again if you've been clenching your teeth, if there's pressure in your ear. Go ahead and open up the mouth and move the lower jaw around gently, releasing pressure from your ears, tension. Go ahead and close the mouth and place the tip of your tongue at the ridge just behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly and smile just slightly. Good. And take your attention down the sides of the neck and over the shoulders and the upper back. Go ahead and roll your shoulders up to the bottoms of your ears and then let them drop. Good. And taking your awareness now down the length of your arm, your biceps, your triceps, your elbows, your forearms and your wrists. Let the arms be heavy. Let them be supported by your lap or the sides of the chair. Take your awareness into your hands and notice if there's any tension in the hands and the fingers. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers around, releasing tension. And place your hands either palms up or palms down on your thighs. Bring your attention now over the throat, over the chest, over the belly, over the pelvis, over the thighs, knees, the shins, the ankles, the tops of the feet, the tips of the toes. Feel your entire body in the chair. Feel the breath in the body. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. Notice if you're breathing through the right or the left nostril. Pay very close attention. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. Follow the breath down into the chest and feel the gentle rise and fall of the chest. Bring your attention into the belly. And feel the expansion of the belly on your inhale. And feel how the belly falls on the exhale. So keeping your attention on the belly for your inhale and your exhale. Good. Just keep paying attention to the belly. And on your next exhale, exhale deeply and bring the the belly button towards the spine. So you're contracting your abdominal muscles. And then inhale, creating space. Exhaling through the nose deeply and fully, letting everything go. All the stale air, all the negativity, whatever you're holding on to. And then just inhale. And exhale. Good. Inhaling, and then hold the breath at the top. And now exhale slowly to the count of 4, 2, 3, 4. But exhale completely. And inhale slowly, 1, 2, 3, 4, and hold. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, really squeezing all the air out. And then inhaling, 1, 2, 3, 4, good. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Beautiful. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold the breath. Take in a little bit more air if you can, and exhale to 5 if it feels good. If you're running out of air, that's okay. Just go back to 4, 3, 4, 5, and hold. Inhale now to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and hold. Exhale to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and hold. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and hold. Take in a little bit more air if you can. And exhale to 6, but only if it feels good. 3, 4, 5, 6, and hold. Inhale to 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good. Exhale to 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful. Inhale to the count of 6. Exhale to the count of 6. And begin again, counting it out for yourself. Evening out your inhales and your exhales. And now let the counting go, but continue to breathe deeply and evenly. now let that deep breathing go. Let the breath be natural. Scan the body for any tension and relax. Has your attention wandered? Bring it back into this moment. Is there a conversation happening in your mind? Bring your attention back to the breath. Taking a nice, deep, connected breath all the way down to the center of the earth, getting nice and connected and grounded. Sighing it out. Bringing your beautiful awareness all the way back to the room. Very gently opening up your eyes, gazing down at the floor, just taking a moment. Wiggle fingers and toes, coming all the way back. And giving yourself a hug, because I know you haven't hugged yourself all week. And give yourself another hug.
true. It's true. I haven't hugged myself all week.
Have you guys looked at yourselves in the mirror and just thought, you are a hot tamale?
That's your homework this week, right? If you don't say it, nobody else is going to. So you have to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself how fabulous you are.
I know. People are like, I can't do that. Of course you can. Nobody's going to know you're doing it. You know? And it feels good, usually. So the tension in the body. Do you guys notice that there's tension in your face or tension in your shoulders or your chest when you sit down? Where do you predominantly hold tension? I frown. You know, I do this a lot and I catch myself driving. It's like, oh, okay, relax. You know, relax the forehead. Where do you hold tension? Shoulders, neck. Neck. What about belly, chest, back, upper back, lower back, both, everything. I'm tense like this. So a relaxed body is a relaxed mind. And oftentimes it's very difficult to stop the torrent of thought that's coming in. So if you can practice moving your attention into your body where you feel tension, feel it in your forehead, you feel it in your shoulders, you feel it in your back, take a deep breath and consciously relax the body, it will slow the mind down. Because that's where your stress is. Your stress is actually in the mind. And your thoughts are going, chatter, chatter, chatter. Did you notice when I gave the prompt, are you having a conversation? Some of us are having a conversation. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why do you do that? That's normal. And you come back to the breath. So tension is really happening in the mind. In fact, there's this constant dialogue that's going on in the background that most of us aren't aware of. You know, and that's also causing stress and that's causing tension. So it would be overwhelming for us to say, let's find all the thoughts that are causing you stress right now. We'd never get out of the room. We'd be here forever. So the practice is to really talk to your body, because your body and your subconscious mind are at one. We're going to talk more about the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, all this stuff. Get really down to alleviating our deepest stress. So it really is about talking to the body. When it's hard, that the more relaxed you are on the inside, the easier the breath becomes. And sometimes for me, I don't feel like, I don't think I'm stressed, but I can't breathe. It feels tight to take a deep breath. My body is telling me that there's background noise, there's background stress. I live near a railroad track in Old Torrance. Old Torrance, a railroad runs right through the middle of town. And I don't hear it anymore. Not really. I don't hear it until somebody else comments on it. And I'm like, oh, there's that train. We're made for that. That's part of our survival mechanism. So that your brain, my brain has figured out that the train is not a threat to my environment. So I don't need to hear it all the time. But what I will hear are things that are not cohesive with my environment. You know, a cat screeching or car screeching or something else, I'll hear it and I'll pay attention to make sure that it's not something that I need to have a fight or flight response to. Do you guys understand? So this is evolutionary. There's nothing wrong with it. Except that our stress also goes on in the background, the stressful thoughts, the thoughts that tell you you can't do this, you should be doing more, you're not doing enough, all of this tension that we live with. So when you learn to talk to the body, you're actually addressing those thoughts without having to talk to yourself and have more thoughts and more thoughts and more thoughts, because then it's just building. I remember years ago I was part of a holistic group, and you know, everybody would pick a card and then you would go and exchange services. So I went to this woman who I picked. She was a chiropractor. But she did this different kind of chiropractic. She didn't really crack your back or anything. It was some kind of energy chiropractic work. And I thought, I don't think I need a chiropractor. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. But okay, and I started thinking about it, and I realized I had this pain right between my shoulder blades that I had for years. And it never occurred to me that it could go away.
You know what I mean? I was just living with it. Like some of us are just living with the pains in our butts, right?
It's a pain, you know.
But really, we're just living with it. And we're not aware that there's something so simple that we can do to get rid of it. So your homework this week, I hope you guys have been practicing your meditation, doing 15 minutes a day. You can break it up morning, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon, 5 minutes in the evening, or all at once. Add to your practice just scanning the body, just like you do when you come into meditation class. Where are you holding tension and then consciously relax? Where are you holding tension and consciously relaxing? Because what will happen is, what's happening is if we're tense a lot, we're actually used to the tension. Just like the pain in my back, I just wasn't aware of it. Just like the train, I don't hear it anymore. But as I begin to consciously relax the body, that becomes more normal. Does that make sense? That becomes my place of balance instead of this place of stress to feel normal. Feeling relaxed and feeling both feet on the ground becomes normal. Does this make sense? You guys following me? Are you going to do it? I hope so, because you want to feel groovy, right? You know, if you want to feel groovy, you got to do this kind of stuff. Because it feels good. Feeling groovy means feeling good. Does anybody have any questions before I move on? I'm super excited about tonight. Yeah.
I was curious what one of the breathing exercises I could envision.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one, about leaning forward and your stomach out and leaning back. Or, I don't know. I couldn't figure out what that
was. Was that the ha one? I'll have to look at it again because I can't think of it. We'll all practice it together. Lean forward, lean back. Anyway, I don't know. I'll have to look at it again. Do you? But I'm glad you tried it. What about the other two? Did those work for you? Okay, I'll look at it again. Okay, good question. Anything else? No? Okay. All right. Releasing and healing your deepest levels of stress and dis-ease. Understand the nature of your mind. So, remember there are positive aspects of stress. Remember we talked about that? To challenge the spirit, the mind, and to help us to focus. You know, the challenge of, I'm going to hike up that mountain. You know, I'm going to go on this trip. I'm going to expand and I'm going to exert myself. That expansion and getting out of your comfort zone is going to cause you some stress and some anxiety. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not debilitating. If it's preventing you from moving forward, then there's a deeper issue that needs to be uncovered. But, you know, an example is, so I was talking about my family. My sister got a job, which is great. And I said, you know, you don't sound too happy about the job. She goes, no, I am, but, you know, it's a big change and, you know, and she applied for the job. She took a test to get the job, went on the interview, called somebody to see if she wants this job. Now that she has it, she's thinking about all the things that she has to do to prepare, and it's causing her some anxiety because now she's leaving her comfort zone. Can we relate to that? We can all relate to that, right? So that's a good kind of stress because it's teaching us to expand and to get and to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, trying new things, new foods, you know, new adventures, meeting new people. But our deepest levels of toxic stress, right, the negative aspects of stress that are demoralizing and debilitating, we're too afraid to really try. We're too afraid because we're going to fail, or we're too afraid because we might succeed. If we succeed, then I'm going to have to find a babysitter for the kids. And then how am I going to get dinner? And then how are we going to do this, you know, and all of those kinds of things. So some of the stress can be debilitating. We wind up not doing it. Stress on a very deep level, like the train going on that you're not paying attention to, over time causes dis-ease in the body because the body needs to let you know there's something wrong with our thinking here, with what's going on the inside. So when I think about our deepest levels of stress, the deepest level of stress and anxiety arises from the belief that we are powerless. If we just took it down to, you know, everybody talks about, oh, I'm unworthy and I have this and I have that. The reality is that we are stressed when we don't feel like we are in control of our bodies. I felt like my body's betrayed me. on more than one occasion, I was not happy about it. That feeling of not being in control of my body and what happens to it causes anxiety, that belief that I'm not in control of my body, that my body is against me, that my body has betrayed me, that it's not my friend. That is just a belief that's in your mind. It's not a fact of reality. Do you guys understand that? If we have a value judgment that the body is against me and my body has betrayed me, so when I became pregnant, I became very, very ill. And I wasn't supposed to get sick. That wasn't part of the plan. And it went on and on and on. And it went on for 25 weeks. I just couldn't get out of bed. And I was just horribly sick. And I'd have to go to the hospital for dehydration and all kinds of stuff. And I was very angry. And I felt like I was robbed of the joy of having this experience. I really wanted to be pregnant and really enjoy it. But the reality is my judgment of what was going on was exacerbating the sickness. It's just a belief. It's not a fact of reality that my body betrayed me. That's my interpretation of the event. And my interpretation has causing me stress. If I believe that on the deepest level, that my body is not a safe haven, it is not safe, that is a deep level of stress, and eventually my body will prove me right. Everything that you think, not everything, most things that you think that you believe on a very deep level always come to pass. And we're going to talk about why that is. I'm not in control of my mind. Now, that's a horrible thing. If you don't feel like I'm not in control of my thoughts. I'm not in control of my emotions. There's something wrong with me that I'm not in control of my thoughts and I'm not in control of my emotions. If I'm not in control of my thoughts and my emotions, I can't create real change in my life. It's not possible. That is a deep level of stress. I'm not in control of my environment. I'm not in control of what other people do to me. That is a very deep level of stress. To feel powerless and to feel helpless. Do you guys follow me? So this is what we're going to be working on tonight. So what would your life be like if you knew you were in control of your health, your wealth, your relationships, your happiness, your environment? And I really want you to really sit with that for a moment. What would your life be like if you really felt like you were in control of it or that you had a say in what happened? Because we all have areas where we feel that we're not in control. But what if you were? What if what you said went? Now, I'm going to give you a caveat. That doesn't mean you can control the people in your life. Okay? I'm talking just about you. So it's not like, well, if I was in control of Sam, things would be a lot better because he would do what I said. And then I would be happy. What would your life be like if you were able to incorporate good stress and alleviate the deepest levels of spiritual, psychological, and physical stress in your life? Can you visualize or get a sense about living a life that is free of the toxic levels of stress? I'm not talking about the challenge and all of that stuff because that can be really fun and exciting and thrilling and, you know, getting a roller coaster and all that kind of stuff. Talking about that feeling of not being in control, of being a victim. Can you visualize a life where you are in control or that you have power? Can you? It's important because you visualizing is the same thing as it's telling your mind where you want to go when you have a visualization, when you're visualizing something, when you can taste it, when you can feel it, when you can imagine it. It's like booking a flight to San Francisco. You're going to get there. Or you're driving to San Francisco. Maybe it's going to take you longer, but you're on your way to San Francisco. You got the tickets, you got the hotel, you have the plan, you're on your way. Visualization is very, very important to this process. If you can see it, you can be it. We hear that all the time, right? If you can see it, and that's absolutely true, if you can visualize it in your mind and you can feel it, then that will happen. Okay? Questions so far? Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. It is exciting. This is like really exciting. It's exciting stuff. Okay. So remember, you have three minds. You have your conscious mind, which is your creative mind. It can see into the future, review the past. It disconnects from the present moment as it solves problems in your head. So your conscious mind is, you know, you thinking about stuff, solving problems. How am I going to get Sam to do what I want? How am I going to do that? And solving the math problem. According to Dr. Bruce Lipton and some neuroscientists, it can process about 40 bits of environmental stimuli per second. And so it's about 5% of your behavior. So you know that picture of, I'm not going to draw it right now, but the iceberg, right? The tip of the iceberg, because below the surface is huge. Your conscious mind is like the tip of the iceberg. It's just 5% of what's going on. It's not a bad thing. Your subconscious mind is the primary repository of stimulus response and tastes derived from instincts and learned experiences. It is fundamentally habitual. It will play the same behavioral responses to your life signals over and over and over again. It processes, I didn't write it down, it processes about 20 billion bits per second. So it is 95% of what's happening in your life is happening on the subconscious level. So one of the ways in which we experience this, and I know I've talked about it in class before, is driving. When you're learning to drive, oh my God, I took my teenager driving once. It was an experience. We're going to have to do it again, but I'm just letting you know. That's good stress, sort of. So remember when you were driving, when you were learning to drive, right? Get this rear view mirror, you're checking everything. You know, I learned how to drive a stick when I first learned how to drive. Got both feet going. I downshifted. My dad had a cow. You know, his head exploded, you know, and I was supposed to go up into third gear or wherever. But over time, you consciously don't drive the car anymore. Now, you know, before you had both hands on the wheel and you're paying attention, and then over time, your subconscious mind begins to take over. Now you can get in the car, you have the radio on, you're talking to your friend, hopefully you're not texting, but you might be on the phone. There's a lot going on, and all of a sudden you may realize that you hadn't really been paying attention to the road for a few minutes, but everything was good. You know, somebody slowed down in front of you, you saw it, because you are no longer driving. Your unconscious mind has taken over. Just like riding a bike. It's why you'll never unlearn how to ride a bike, because your unconscious mind is now riding the bicycle. So that's a good analogy. So with all, and then there's the spiritual mind, which is the bigger you. For me, the spiritual mind is your intuition, or things that seem to come out of nowhere where there's not a clear, you know, connect the dot. You just know. You know, you just know that the person, I remember seeing my friend Tiffany from far away, both our kids went to the same grade school, and I saw her from behind, and I thought, we're going to be friends. And I never talked to her. I just knew it. My conscious mind couldn't have known that, and neither did my subconscious mind. I just knew we were going to be friends. It was a spiritual thing, right? So we have the spiritual mind, this higher self. Thank God there's something, you know, that knows more than we do consciously. So that's the spiritual mind. Everybody take a deep breath. How we doing? Good? Okay. So what about your ego with all of this? Remember we talk about the ego, or we've heard about the ego? We know people that have a big, giant ego, right? So ego is a condition. It's a condition when you are separate or when you're lost in your external experiences. You're separate from your core. You're separate from your spiritual self, your spiritual mind, your higher self. You don't know yourself at all. You think that, you know, you are your husband's wife, or you're your kid's parent, or you are vice president of your company. You're all of these things, and you don't know yourself, right, as the center. So ego is a condition of separation. The more separated you are, the more ego you have, the more lost you become in external experiences. So this begs the question, if there is an I beyond consciousness, an I that is an eternal you. When you are in meditation and the thought comes up, I need to make dinner as soon as I go home. It's late. Or I need to do this, or why did I do that? The I, who is listening to those thoughts? Who is the awareness that notices the thought, I need to go home and make dinner? That is the I that all the spiritual mystics and teachers have been talking about. When we are in meditation, the idea is to just watch those that come up and to know that that is not you. That is not who you are. The I that has to go and make dinner is not the I that I am. This is the spiritual part. This is the part that comes with meditating and paying attention. Now, here's the bonus. This is why we want to know this. The I that needs to make dinner for my family is always going to be changing. I can't hold on to it because eventually my children are going to grow up and they're going to leave. I won't have children to take care of. I've had clients that have come to see me because they've had horrible empty nester syndrome. You have empty nest syndrome because you are completely attached to the idea of you being a mother and you are nothing else. And that always changes. I'm vice president of my company. If I only know myself as that, eventually they'll ask me to leave the company. I will be asked to, it doesn't matter how fabulous you are, you'll be asked to retire. And so if I'm not that, then who am I? So this is why we know people that have these existential crises, because they don't know who they are. Does this make sense? So you are the I. So anything that you are attaching to, I have to do this, I have to do this, I am my body, I am my age, I have to do this, that is a deep source of stress. That's a horrible source of stress, because all of that is going to change. My body is changing all the time. Make sense? Good stuff. I told you.
Good stuff.
People who are really separated from their sense of self, so we imagine, so this assumes that the I that I am is loving, is compassionate, is understanding, is powerful, is immortal. It lives. I imagine the I, when I'm in my meditation, I put I am in different situations, in different lifetimes, to learn or to have different experiences. You know, if I'm born to a different set of parents, I have different tools, I have different resources. It's interesting for the I that I am to have this experience, to expand my consciousness. Consciousness expands through me as I have a deeper awareness of myself in this play. I know that sounds very metaphysical, but meditate and you'll feel it. People who are separate from themselves, then, they need to control others overtly or passively. They lack empathy and compassion because it's all about them. They incessantly need to be right. And they're constantly striving to become more and to be more and to do more because they're not comfortable with who they are. Right? Now we all have ego. And we all go through this. Who doesn't like to be right? I mean, I'm not the only one raising my hand. Somebody's got to raise their hand. Who likes to be right? We all like to be right. Right? Ego wants to be right. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? That's what, you know, Dr. Phil used to say before he went crazy. You want to be bright or you want to be happy? I have most of the time, depending on what it is, being right isn't going to solve the problem. It's going to hurt the relationship if you need to be right, quite frankly. When you're in negotiation with someone, you need to find out what their deepest desire is. Even if they say, well, your desire is to control me. Well, no, maybe their deepest desire is for freedom. How can we be free in this relationship? How can we equally be free? That's a different conversation than I need to prove my point, why you're wrong and I'm right. Eckhart Tolle says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, if the sky is blue, or 2 + 2 = 4, and somebody says it equals 5, why are you arguing with them? You already know you're right. So what's the point? I mean, you're in an egoic battle. When you're in relationship with someone, it behooves us, if we want to continue to be in that relationship, to find out what our highest objective is as a couple. To live in harmony and love and peace. Does being right foster that being in harmony, love, and peace? Probably not. Right? It's a different conversation. And oftentimes, you guys, it only takes one person to know it. Because if I'm trying to get you to see things from my point of view, then I'm trying to control you, and we're in this thing again. Oftentimes, it only takes one conscious person to shift the energy of a relationship. One conscious person. I have been teaching meditation and working with people for a long, long, long time, and I see this all the time. One half of the couple comes to see me to complain about the other person. They have their own realization, because the first thing I'm going to say is, I'm sorry, it's not them, it's you. It's always you. You're the common denominator in all of this. So let's work on you and what's going on inside of you. And when they have that realization, they see the person differently. The person is no longer their enemy. The person is no longer whatever they were to them. And because they see that person differently, the conversation changes and the relationship shifts. And the other person begins to entrain to your level of consciousness. I promise. This is what happens. It takes one person. We don't always have to be on the exact same page. One person doing his or her spiritual work is a powerhouse. Remember I told you guys last week, you're powerful. Remember that? You are powerful. And I don't need you, my lover, my friend, my daughter, to agree with me in order for me to be powerful. Does this make sense? That's good stuff, right? All right. You're going to go and say, oh, I don't want to argue. I don't want to talk about that. Let's chunk this up. Let's take it up to another level. Okay, so at our deepest level, we all want power and freedom, love and approval, health and immortality. On some level, we're all fearful of death. We want immortality. And we want a perfect body and perfect health so that we will live forever. Right? I mean, really. It's how we think. When we're lost in ego, these wants become distorted and we look for them outside of ourselves. In other words, we look for love, we look for approval, we look for immortality, we look for everything outside of ourselves when we're lost in ego. You follow me? We look for ourselves in relationships. I won't be happy. This is how you know you're doing that. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when Sam changes. If he stops doing that, then I'll be happy. You've lost all control. I'll be happy when my body is doing this, that, or the other. I'll be happy when, I get the raise. I'll be happy when blah, blah, blah happens. You're completely lost. You're at the mercy of your experiences. As soon as you say that, I say it. I mean, it comes up. I'll be happy. I'm like, oh, okay. Watch my language. Get centered. If I follow that thought and that belief, I'm going to feel powerless and be miserable. How you guys doing? Good. good stuff, right? All right, so let's draw our circle, okay? And I'm saying this mostly for the people on at home and on the recording. So you draw your circle, and at the top, we have beliefs. We have thoughts. And we have emotions. Remember, our objective is to release our deepest levels of stress and to live the life that we want. We have actions on the bottom. And we have environment or experiences on the left side of the circle. So it's at 9 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock. Okay. What you believe affects your thinking and your feeling. Your thinking and your feeling on your deepest subconscious level, right, will affect your actions, will affect your behavior. Your behavior creates in your environment and helps to dictate your experiences. Your environment and your experiences will reinforce your beliefs. That's how this works. This is the circle of samsara. This is how we create in our reality. You really do create with your beliefs. When you understand yourself as the I, this is fun. Because I can shift my thinking and my feeling. I know that I can have whatever I can conceive of for the most part. You know, I'm not going to go and fight with Ronda Rousey or whatever and be a, you know, an MMA fighter all of a sudden. I wouldn't really have that desire to do that. But whatever I believe, you know, whatever I want, I really can create as long as I'm in this cycle. So my feelings are in alignment with my beliefs. My actions are in alignment with my beliefs. And then eventually the law is I will have an experience of what it is that I'm thinking, feeling, and believing and doing. The universe is amazing. We live in an ocean of love. I know it doesn't maybe feel like that all the time. We live in an ocean of yes. And so it's those people that you bump into that just happen to have the right information at the right time for you. You couldn't plan that even if you tried. The universe plans that. So, you know, the positive side is that we're not here by ourselves, but our part of it is to understand how powerful we are. I really believe that. You know, we are, the universe wants us to know that we're love and this, that, and the other. I really feel the universe wants us to know that we are powerful creators, and we've been told otherwise. And because we're so powerful, we can have a lot more fun because we have more choice. When you are powerless, you don't have any choice, right? Mm-hmm. There's no choice when you don't have any power. So this is how we create. So if I say, if I believe I am not in control of my body, I am not in control of my health. How this happens, this is part of the subconscious mind, right? So this is why when we're thinking, it's like, I want to go on a diet. I want to get better relationships. I want to make more money. I want to have better experiences. I want a better relationship. And you're reading books, and you're saying positive affirmations, and you're walking with your friends, and you're doing all this stuff. And then you wind up in the same place that you were before, or it's very short-lived. If your conscious mind is only 5% of what's going on, but your subconscious mind is 95%, what do you have to address? You have to address the subconscious mind. You have to understand how your subconscious mind got programmed in the first place, because your subconscious mind is running programs based on your beliefs that are creating your experiences. And if you, as a conscious, powerful co-creator, do not understand this process, you will be frustrated. Because you're like, oh, Krista, you know, I'm meditating and I'm thinking positive, but, you know, I'm not having that magical experience where my spouse, you know, is suddenly fabulous. Because we're not addressing it on an unconscious level. Okay? So, when we were children and in the womb. Dr. Lipton talks about this. This is what your articles are about. We are in basically a hypnotic state for a long, long time. And what we're doing is we're absorbing information. This is a good thing because we don't have to tell children. This is how we do things in our culture. They just absorb what's going on around them. And as children, we were absorbing our parents' good behavior, and we were absorbing their bad behavior, their dysfunction. We were absorbing the positive things in our culture, and then we were absorbing some of the dysfunction in our culture. And all of this stuff we take personally. Remember last time we talked about the subconscious mind takes everything personally? We take everything personally. So if you're a girl, and maybe I had a client that said her dad, and she's younger than I am, but he said to her, and he loved her. This is love, you know, love, love, love. He said, honey, you don't have to go to college because you're going to get married and your husband's going to take care of you. Yeah, he believed that. And it was very conflicting for her. It was a conflicting belief because there was a part of her that knew that she wanted to do something else, but there was another part that felt that belief she had to be dependent or that she couldn't achieve certain things because of her gender. Do you guys follow me? So the things that are going on in our environment, we take personally and apply it to who we are. So if we had a parent who was loving, we would see ourselves from that perspective. If we had a parent that was distant, that really didn't like themselves, we would take that personally and we would think, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with me? So in our environment, so let's take our environment about health. You guys want to talk about health, wealth, relationships? What do you want to talk about? Health? Health? Okay. All of it? We'll talk about all of it. So in my house, my dad thought he was fabulous, and he is. He's adorable. She made my dad. My mother, who I watched, you know, because she's the mommy and I watch her all the time, did not think that she was fabulous. She had, like most women in this culture, a love-hate, mostly hate relationship with her body. And she always told herself that she was fat. And she was not, you know. And she was always on a diet. And she's made her transition, so it's okay, I can talk about my mother. I'm writing a book about it, that's okay. And she was constantly on the diet, constantly at odds, constantly frustrated. When you have two girls that are living in the house seeing mom with this talk, and then you have a culture that also perpetuates it, what are my beliefs about my health and my body and myself? Where is my self-esteem going to come from? It's going to come from how I look and how much I weigh and do I fit in with everybody? Can people relate? This is for women and for men, not just women. This is just my experience. You know, you can be a boy where your father was extremely athletic and you're not, you know. And so that there might be a belief that there's something wrong with me because I'm not athletic or I'm not a certain way. Right? So no matter how much I want to diet, or let's say, you know, I'm up and down, all these things with my weight and my appearance, if I'm not addressing this belief that there's something wrong with me, it doesn't matter how much I diet. It doesn't matter because eventually the belief is going to win out because it's so strong. My unconscious belief is I'm not good enough. No matter how much weight I lose, or what size pants I wear, or whatever, I'm never, ever good enough. And eventually, my actions will bear that out. It's too overwhelming for the conscious mind if I'm not addressing this on an unconscious level. And my actions then will prove my experiences. So the actions might be, I need to lose weight for my wedding. Okay, so I can do that. It's a temporary thing. But then all of a sudden, this powerful subconscious urge starts to take over. And all of a sudden, I go out with my friends. I'm like, oh, I can have that piece of cake. Or I'll have a bite of your cake. Oh, I'll do this. Oh yeah, you know, we'll go out and we'll have hamburgers and french fries. I'll skip my workout. You know, I'm tired. It's been a long day. The next thing I know, my pants don't fit. You understand what I'm saying? It's a little thing, but it's a big thing because it can be devastating. I had a client once that used to carry around, she was in her 60s. She carried around a picture of herself when she was 30 and was just miserable that she didn't look like that anymore. She was tortured. It was really, I know, it's like it's silly, but she was really tortured. Why do you think women get all kinds of crazy stuff done to themselves? You know, because they want to look like they did when they were 20. This is the same thing with your relationships. If your relationships aren't working for you, if your wealth isn't working for you, what are the things that you grew up with regarding wealth and the cues? We never did a budget. My parents said charge it. You know, really. And so, you know, the charge it and the poverty consciousness and all of that. We have to, you know, it's manifested itself in having money sometimes and not having money at other times, and it's very, very stressful. It's a deep source of stress, as an example. Everybody take a deep breath. What questions do you have? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So your mother, I just want to say, so your mother was a budgeter, and then when you got out, you went crazy, went hog wild. All right, that's okay, but you came down, came back to center. Now you budget. Yeah. You know, it's like those things, you know, with our kids. You know, when you're too strict and you're restricting their freedom. If everybody ultimately wants freedom, and we're not allowing our children to have some freedom, they're going to rebel. You know, they're going to rebel and they're going to be confused. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
So much, and they want attention. You know, that's my, oh, we don't care.
Oh, well, they're teen drama.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any questions about this? Is there an area in your life that's not working for you the way that you would like it to? And Aaron's like, well, duh. Can you see how your unconscious mind is contributing to it? So what do? Sort of, kind of? If you know that I'm a powerful creator and that I'm creating this experience, sometimes you don't have to unbelieve the belief. Sometimes it's just enough to know it, that you're creating it. Do you guys follow me? Sometimes you just have to know. It's like the breath. It's hard to breathe. I know I don't think I'm stressed, but my body is telling me I'm stressed. I think that my thoughts are okay about this, but my experience keeps telling me that I haven't resolved this on a deeper issue. That's it. Sometimes that's enough. It's just the awareness that I'm the one that's creating it and nobody is against me. Therefore, I can create something else using the tools of my unconscious mind. What are the tools of your unconscious mind? Visualization. Repetition. Yeah.
Okay, so if I have changed my beliefs about something, like, so say we've been together for years now,
mm-hmm.
and I've done a lot of work here and visualization. So if I've changed my belief about something and my thoughts have changed, and then all of a sudden I feel all this conflict in certain areas,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like right now in this season it's really showing me the beliefs that were contrary to the new beliefs. You know, the universe before me, and I'm a powerful creator, which really kind of weed out that I'm not enough, and only, you know, blah, 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 what is attractive, and my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's all coming. Is that because my beliefs are changing properly? Because I have been doing this work? Because it's like all right here.
So what am I hearing? Are you telling me that you have a lot of stuff coming up all at the same time?
All related to belief
system. Yeah, okay. That's a good question. All your stuff is going to come up, and because you are conscious, you make a different choice. You need to choose. This is where action is so powerful. This is how we also reprogram our unconscious mind, is through repetition. So every time you have an urge to do something and you understand I'm reprogramming my unconscious mind, you just choose differently. You choose differently. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, most people are conflicted because they're not sure what they really want. That's why we have these internal conflicts. I think there's a big part of us that really doesn't, we really don't want the things that we say we want because we're afraid of change. Because the terrain is different. I really believe that. I feel that when people make up their mind and you're like, you know what? I'm done. This is how it's going to be. Everything begins to shift in accordance with that. So sometimes it just takes us a while to kind of get on board. It's not instantaneous. It really is a process. You know, we have to learn. You know, it's like I needed to have that experience one more time, clearly, because I'm having it. Right? So I needed to have that experience again. So now I know, because now I'm conscious. When I see this person coming, I need to make a different choice. And I know it's not that grounded because it depends on what's going on in your life specifically. You guys following me? How you doing? You're reading your body. You're reading the signs of your life. You know, you're looking for the process. I wound up here again. Okay. Don't beat yourself up about it. It's like, okay. Okay. The next time I'll choose different. And you are more alert. It's as simple as that. Okay? We'll talk more about how to reprogram the unconscious mind next time. You went on a little bit. You guys okay? It's good stuff? Okay. And you know what? It doesn't end as long as we're here. So, surprise! Don't be stuck. But that's okay, because then it will be a challenge, like, you know, climbing the mountain and not, you know, not going to knock you off your center for too long anyway. All right, you guys, if you have questions after class, I'll be here. Let's finish with a meditation and get nice and centered. And let's let all of this information just kind of settle and integrate into our consciousness. Let it empower us. Feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. Let's take three hot breaths. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. And one more time, inhaling. Good. And just relax your face. Relax your jaw. Relax your shoulders from the bottoms of the ears. Relax your arms. Place your hands, palms up on your thighs. Feel your feet on the ground. And just imagine a beautiful light coming into the room and pouring into your head, into the crown of your head, over your body, that you're just being showered with this beautiful light
and just breathe. Just be.
Thank you.
Taking a nice, deep, conscious, connective breath all the way down to the bottoms of your feet and sigh it out. Let's do that again. Inhale all the way down to the center of the earth, getting nice and grounded and connected, and then just sighing, just exhaling. Beautiful. Opening up the eyes just a little bit. Coming back into the room, open your eyes all the way, wiggle fingers and toes. Because you're awesome. I have two things to share with you before we go. In the area that you feel needs more attention, ask yourself this question. If I were in control of my health, my wealth, my relationships, what choices would I make? What would I do differently? If I really felt like I was in control, what choices would I make? That's a very interesting question, and I'd like you to think about it. The other technique I'd like to share with you, you know, and you can pick one or do both. Lately, I've been feeling very... I was feeling very unsafe just in general, right? With all the stuff that's going on and, you know, and there's lots of changes in my life and then all the stuff that's going on in our environment, in our political environment. I would have these dreams that these trees fell on my house and, you know, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I knew it was stress. So I was talking to my sister about it. She gave me a wonderful exercise. She said, write down everything that you're afraid of. Everything, you know, I'm afraid of peanuts. I'm not, but that would have been funny. So everything that you're afraid of and then burn it. Write it down on a piece of paper and burn it. And some, chomp. whatever you're afraid of, the trees falling on your house, you know, things exploding. I mean, some of the fears were irrational. I wrote them all down, burned it, and I've been sleeping like a baby. So sometimes those little things, you know, I invite you to try something like that or to play that thought experiment. If I were in control, what choices would I make? If I really felt empowered in this area, what choices would I make? All right, that's it. Otherwise, I'll talk to you guys for another hour. Namaste, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Namaste. I'll see you next time. Look yourself in the mirror and say you're awesome. Good night.
I'm going to have to read that meditation. I mean, the breathing technique. I don't remember that one. Just the... And then the other one, like, the belly.
Said something like...
Sit with your feet
flat on the floor.
Yeah.
And then lean forward and extend your stomach out. And then sit. And then lean back. I don't know. I couldn't figure that out.
I'll look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little one.
Okay. I must have skipped right over it when I was looking at the article. I don't know.
So
this is an exercise for centering emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. One is do an emotional detox for a few days, which is just drink lots of water. Don't read or watch anything that causes anxiety, and stay away from people that cause you stress for a few days. Sometimes we can't do that, you know, completely, but that's very good. I've done that for myself recently, you know. You know, no kids, no boyfriend, no ex-husband. I stayed in my house for a couple of days and just needed to detox emotionally. Yeah. Yeah.
I do immigration, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, we know that you're a compassionate human being.
Too much. I know. And so, you know, it's important to drink clean water and to take some time to recharge. And this is something that sounds harsh, and it's not. But this is part of your experience. We don't know what lessons and what learnings and what God has planned for everybody. All you can do is be there in that moment and let them have their own.
All their stress.
So
just one of the things I like to do is that light meditation that we did at the end, just seeing, you know, that light coming down, really taking the energy deep into the earth so that you feel supported by the earth. That's really important. And just knowing that everybody's ultimately going to be okay, you know, and taking breaks. I don't know if you're doing that all day or if you're taking breaks every 90 minutes and just taking some away time and some alone time, you know, just to kind of get centered. But there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, and we're all feeling it. You know, we're all feeling it. I mean, the immigration thing, you know, everybody cried. You know, it was very painful, you know. So, you're welcome. I hope that helps. You know, just breathe, get centered, and you can only do what you can do. Yeah, well, that's okay. You're releasing. I don't, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I know people look at you funny if you do it at your desk, but that might be a way for you. You know, there's nothing wrong with crying. And, because you're trying to release the energy. If you don't do that, you're going to get the flu. You know what? Good night. I'll see you later. Good night. Good night. We'll talk.
I just had a realization about that. I was telling Kelly, many times when we've seen it, all of a sudden something just went boing.
Good. I want to hear the boing. So email me. Email me boing. Put it in the subject line.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
You do? You know what? What you're talking about is baggage. The stuff coming up and it keeps coming up, that's baggage that needs to be released.
It's like leaked.
Yeah.
So I thought it was one thing all these years we've been together and it's like we're even another layer down. It's like, here's my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my dad.
Yeah. Some of that though we need to just release and let it go.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll talk about that. Right now, just do it. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it happen.
I mean, thank God I could see it. I just let it go.
But crying, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, somebody's injured and, you know, or somebody dies or leaves you, it would be inhuman to not cry. So, and I think giving yourself permission to cry and to feel sad, as long as it's not affecting your everyday life, is a really good release. You know, it's a really good release. I think we're all crying, you know, here and there. So, so give yourself permission to cry. Because, you know,
do it all the time.
You need to release that energy. Yeah. Lots of meditation, clean water, you know, surround yourself with the light, you know.
Yeah.
Surround them with the light when you talk to them. That's always really nice. Just put them in a golden light and just know that, you know, their highest good is being served.
Right.
And thank God that you're here for them.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi. You look yourself in the mirror and go, "Wow, come on."
Thank you.
Good night.